Welcome to Blog Byte, a brand new segment where we take these awesome engineering blogs and turn them into like bite-sized audio deep dives. We're looking at a post by Oleg Oblukov from Meta today.
Okay.
It's called How Precision Time Protocol Handles Leap Seconds. He posted it to the Meta Engineering blog on February 3rd, 2025.
Cool.
And it's about how Meta's tackling this tricky issue of leap seconds in their timekeeping systems.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, actually. We're getting to a point where even nanoseconds matter.
Really?
Yeah. Think about it. High-frequency trading telecom networks, even scientific experiments, they all need super accurate timekeeping and leap seconds.
Yeah.
They can really mess things up.
Okay, so before we get too deep into the technical stuff,
sure.
Can we just like rewind a little?
Right.
For those of us who aren't, you know, time lords, what exactly are leap seconds?
Okay, so basically our everyday timekeeping is based on coordinated universal time, or UTC, which tries to stay in sync with the Earth's rotation.
Right.
But the Earth's rotation isn't perfect. It wobbles and slows down a tiny bit over time.
Oh, okay.
So to compensate for this, we occasionally add a leap second to UTC. It's kind of like hitting the pause button on time for 1 second to let the Earth catch up.
So it's like a tiny little cosmic course correction. For our clocks, I mean.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Adding a whole second can cause all sorts of problems for systems that need to be synchronized down to the nanosecond.
I see.
We're talking glitches, errors, even system crashes.
Wow. Okay. So I'm starting to see why this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially for a company like Meta with its massive infrastructure. So how do engineers even begin to tackle this?
Well, the traditional approach is something called leap second smearing.
Leap second smearing.
It's been the go-to method for decades. Imagine spreading peanut butter across time to smooth out the bump caused by the leap second. Instead of adding a full second all at once, you gradually distribute it over a longer period.
Okay, I love that analogy. So instead of a sudden jolt, it's more of a gentle slope. Precisely. And there are two main methods for smearing: linear and quadratic. With linear smearing, you adjust the clock speed at a constant rate over the smearing period. Quadratic smearing adjusts the clock speed more gradually at the beginning and end of the period with a faster rate in the middle.
Interesting. So it's like choosing between a steady incline and a more gradual curve. Does Meta use both of these methods?
They do. They use linear smearing for their network time protocol systems, or NTP. And they use quadratic smearing for their precision time protocol systems, also known as PTP.
Hold on. So we have NTP and PTP. What's the difference between the two, and why use different smearing methods for each?
So NTP has been the standard for time synchronization for a long time. It's accurate to the millisecond, which is fine for most everyday applications. But PTP is designed for when even a millisecond of error is too much. It operates at the nanosecond level.
Nanoseconds. Wow. I'm guessing traditional smearing just wouldn't work at that level of precision.
You got it. Even tiny adjustments to the clock speed would be way too disruptive for PTP. That's why Meta had to come up with a more sophisticated solution.
Okay, I'm all ears. What do they come up with?
They developed something called self-smearing. It's a really clever system that subtly adjusts time values, essentially hiding the leap second from applications that rely on PTP.
So they're sneaking the leap second in under the radar.
In a way, yeah. They have this library called FBClock that sits between applications and the underlying PTP system. It intercepts time requests and makes tiny nanosecond adjustments to the returned values. And the best part is it's all stateless and reproducible, meaning it doesn't require complex state management or synchronization across the system.
That's impressive. But are there any downsides to this approach?
Well, there is a potential issue. Because NTP and PTP use different smearing strategies, there's a chance for timestamps to mismatch between systems that rely on each protocol. It's a trade-off between precision within the PTP world and compatibility with the broader world of NTP.
So how does Meta address this potential mismatch between NTP and PTP? What's the next step?
That's a great question, and leads us to the next section of the blog, which we'll get into right after.
Oh, okay, cool. So to address that potential mismatch you were talking about, Meta has like a two-pronged approach, right?
Right.
We talked about the first one, self-smearing. Now let's get into that second part, advocating for using International Atomic Time, or TAI.
Yeah.
TAI. That does sound kind of familiar. Can you remind me what that is exactly?
Okay, so TAI is like this super stable timescale that doesn't use leap seconds. It's based entirely on atomic clocks, which are incredibly precise.
So if we all just switched over to TAI, we could just ditch leap seconds completely.
That's the idea. It would make timekeeping so much simpler.
Yeah.
And get rid of all those problems that leap seconds cause for systems like PTP.
That sounds like the perfect solution.
Yeah.
So why hasn't everyone just switched to TAI?
It's not that easy, unfortunately. A lot of systems and applications are really deeply rooted in UTC. Switching over would be a huge undertaking. Like, imagine trying to update the firmware on every GPS satellite.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Or reprogram every financial trading system to use TSI. It would be a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, I get it. It's like trying to change the operating system of the entire planet.
Exactly. And there are other things to consider, too. Some people argue that staying synced with the Earth's rotation, even with all its weirdness, is important for certain applications like astronomy or navigation.
So it's complicated.
Yeah.
No easy answers. What's Meta's take on all this? Are they just going to keep on self-smearing forever?
Well, they really want to freeze leap seconds after 2035. They think it's the best way to simplify timekeeping and boost precision across the whole industry.
Interesting. So they're pushing for a future where timekeeping is like super smooth and consistent.
Exactly. They see how great TAI could be. Mm-hmm. And they're working towards a world where leap seconds are just a thing of the past. In fact, Oblakov talks about some of the benefits of getting rid of leap seconds in the next part of his blog.
Oh, like what kind of benefits are we talking about here?
Let's get into it. So Oblakov really emphasizes how getting rid of these leap seconds would make timekeeping so much simpler across the board.
Okay, yeah. I can see how that would be a big win for engineers who are working with all that complex PTP and NTP stuff.
Yeah.
But what about like regular people like me? Are there any benefits for us?
Definitely. Like, think about it. A simpler timekeeping system would mean fewer bugs and glitches in software.
Oh, yeah?
All those apps and devices we use that rely on accurate timekeeping, smartphones, financial systems, navigation systems, even the power grid.
Huh.
Getting rid of leap seconds could make all those systems more reliable.
Interesting. So fewer leap seconds equals fewer chances for things to go wrong.
Pretty much. And it's not just about preventing problems. It's also about opening up new possibilities. With a more stable and predictable timescale, we could create even more precise and sophisticated technologies.
I see. So by making timekeeping simpler, we're actually like paving the way for future innovation.
Exactly. And Oblakov goes on to talk about Meta's overall approach to timekeeping in their systems.
Right. And we've already talked about a few aspects of that, like self-smearing and advocating for TAI. Is there anything else he mentions that we haven't covered?
Yeah, he really stresses how Meta is committed to building these really robust and resilient timekeeping systems, even with all the uncertainty around the future of leap seconds.
So they're kind of like hedging their bets, preparing for a world with or without leap seconds.
Exactly. They're being proactive, you know, developing solutions like self-smearing while also pushing for everyone to adopt TAI.
Yeah.
It's a really smart strategy. Shows how much they care about maintaining accurate and reliable timekeeping no matter what happens in the future.
This whole deep dive has been really eye-opening. I feel like I have a much better understanding of how complicated timekeeping really is and the amazing work that engineers like those at Meta are doing behind the scenes to keep everything running smoothly.
It's been fun exploring this topic with you. It really shows how even something as seemingly small as a leap second can have such a huge impact on our lives, and how engineers are always coming up with creative solutions.
Definitely. Before we go, I want to remind our listeners to check out Oleg Oblakov's full blog post themselves. It's called How Precision Time Protocol Handles Leap Seconds, and it was published on February 3rd, 2025 on the Meta Engineering blog.
Yeah, it's a great read if you want to dive deeper into the nitty-gritty details of how Meta's tackling this challenge.
And for anyone out there who's as intrigued by timekeeping as we are, we'd love to hear your thoughts and questions. Leave us a comment or send us an email.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on this Blog Byte adventure. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into the awesome world of engineering blogs.
Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep questioning the boundaries of what's possible.